Sometimes you just get in a mood, you know? I don't know why. I get up in the morning. I think I'll just do that today. Today is our rally Sunday. It's an exciting day. I think I'm not quite ready yet after baptizing. And in At Abundant Life, we have a philosophy, and that's a philosophy of alignment and movement. So what does that mean? What that means is that when everybody starts at a certain place, at some point in our life, well, some of us were kind of raised in a Christian family. And so all you ever knew was Christ in your life, in your home. And maybe like I was born and my parents brought us to church. And that's all we knew as kids. But a lot of us are not like that. Some of you got into a relationship with Jesus later on in life. And so you had a different experience of being away from the Lord for many years or even into adulthood and then understood that Jesus was God and a savior and a lover of all of us and a forgiver. And you entered in and then you began a journey. Well, that journey is it's definitely a pathway. There's a linear development of what happens. Similarly to a child, they're born, they're an infant, they grow up to be a toddler, and then a little elementary school age kid, and then on to adolescence, and then so on into adulthood. There's alignment. There's movement. With Christ, it's the same way, that there's movement. And so our group in common, Rally Sundays, are part of that alignment and movement for people. It's important for us to understand that this is not a programmed thing that, well, this is just what Abundant Life does. And, oh, yeah, I've heard of a lot of churches that do it that way. And, okay, it's just kind of thing that churches do. No, it's so far from that. This is a real part of what Jesus modeled and outlined as our growth process, is moving from that place where many of you were in this other place of not knowing Christ to being in Christ and then moving deeper and deeper on your journey with him. And I want to maybe try to outline that a little bit for you. I'll move my high tech piece of paper here with things falling off of it. And I know this is kind of small. I need to invest in a gigantic whiteboard. That'd be so much better. But let me kind of just create something for you. We'll start out with this big circle. Okay. Hey, man, in my world, that's a circle. You make your circle how you want to make your circle. And I'm going to make another little one here so I can write some stuff. Okay? The first place, let me just look at my notes. There we go. Is what we're going to call the community. And I know some of you maybe can't see this. This is just making me embarrassed because next time I do this, we're going to have a gigantic thing. And I'm going to get on a stepladder to have to write everything. That you are a part of the community. The community is where we live. It's the South Bay. And how many know that not everybody in the South Bay knows Jesus? That's just the reality. It's the truth. And so it's the community that's out there. And we'll call the people in the community. And this is not derogatory. It's just kind of fact that, you know, they're unsaved. Okay. And unchurched. And this pen is getting uninked. See you later. So that's just where people are. They don't know Jesus yet. And as a result of not knowing Jesus, they don't know Jesus' people. And they don't know the family of God. And how many remember that part of your life, that time? Okay, quite a few of you. Okay, so you get that. Those you maybe weren't brought up in Christ and to know him and to be a part of his family. So that's just a reality. Well, when you become a Christian, there's another one, and we'll call this the crowd. Okay, we'll call that the crowd. And the crowd, we'll call these people attenders. Okay, a lot of people may call them seekers. What the crowd is the crowd is the people that they kind of say, Jesus, wonder who that is. Or I might like to get to know more about that. I might dabble in popping into church now and then. And attenders, you might call yourself an attender if you come to church once a month, a couple times a month. You're just kind of looking around. Maybe you come to a relationship with Jesus at that level. Maybe. A lot of people do. Maybe most people do as they start to think and dig in and investigate. It's also a lot of people go, nah, kind of check that out. I don't think that's for me. What a sad story. Because it isn't just about being a part of a church. This is life and death. It's the real deal. It's eternity with God, eternity separated from God. I mean, and that decision is crucial. It's a heartbreak when some folks say, no, I don't think that's for me. As if they're talking about a church experience or a, you know, what we have done so far today. That's not my thing. Oh, man, folks, God isn't a thing to be in or out of. God is life. And there's an urgency that should be just percolating inside of us because we know this is truly life and death. But that's part of the movement from the community out there, wherever, to maybe, I don't know, maybe. Let me start looking around a little bit. Well, there's another circle as we get smaller. Make sure I get my circles right. And we'll call this one the congregation. Okay. And this congregation is, these are the people that will say they've come to know Christ. So we'll just call them the saved. Okay. And they're a regular part of a local body. And we are, we would say, majority of us, the congregation today. That we gather regularly. We have professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're kind of learning, we're kind of getting it, we're kind of understanding what it means to follow Christ. But our movement with Jesus might be restricted to at this point a Sunday experience. That, hey man, for a lot of us, just coming on a regular basis on Sunday is a massive life change. How many know that? It's true, right? When you talk to people, you go to church every Sunday? Are you kidding? I might as well drink poison if I have to do that. And some people think that. I was with a group of friends in Hawaii a couple weeks ago when I was away from you. And most of the people I was with are part of the community. Have not yet come to a knowledge of Christ, have really no understanding, have no church affiliation. And on Sunday morning, when that day came, a buddy of mine and I, we went to church. And some of the conversations after that were really interesting. You went to church this morning? And you know, like with a dog face, their head tilted, the ear went up. And why'd you do that? Like, dumbest thing I ever heard, kind of, but intriguing. And the questions would come. Well, what'd you learn in there? Like it was some kind of, you know, psychotherapy session or something. What, did they do anything to you in there? You know, what happens when you go in there? Whoa. It's just weird. So it's a big change for a lot of people that just a Sunday thing is a big deal. But you come to know Christ. You meet Jesus as your Savior like Peter did this morning. Maybe you take the step and you are baptized. The circles are getting smaller from my massive whiteboard here. But we got to try to figure this out somewhere. Okay, and this next one is kind of hard to define with a C word. Okay, I wish you could change the alliteration, but it'll just mess my head up and some of you if I don't do all C's. So we'll try to keep it with C's. And we're going to call this group contributors. It's not really accurate, okay? Because I know I'm going to get an email. Well, Pastor, I'm a contributor, but I only come on. Don't take it that extreme, okay? It's just a C word, okay? Okay, what am I bothered about spelling? You can't see it anyway. Contributors. Okay, these are the ones who will say, now we've moved beyond Sunday with the group of contributors, and now it's the people that say, this is my church. And I put servers, or I could put members there. That you start taking responsibility. Here's what I get a lot of times. Oh, Pastor, I really enjoy going to your church. And immediately, like, correct them and say, what do you mean my church? Oh, yeah. I mean our church. But, they have to be taught that. And so these are the group of people that don't have to be taught that anymore. That they have a very real understanding that this is my church. I'm a part of the family. I'm a contributor. It's my responsibility to serve, to give, to be a active, functioning part of what we do here. We have just a load of people who are active, and church ministry is a part, not necessarily a part, it's a priority in what they do. Leading small groups, like all of these signs around the room, are led by people who understand that they're a contributor, they're a server in the body of Christ, and that they see that as their responsibility as part of the family. And this really little thing in the middle, we'll call it, this is the core. Okay? And I don't know why I'm writing this, because again, you can't see it. I just call those the ministers in the core. And the ministers are those that really replicate what the professional, you know, clergy does. And they no longer say, well, pastor, you need to come and do this because this is what we pay you for. That their understanding of living a life with Christ is, I'm a Christian. It's my responsibility to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to visit the sick, to comfort the struggling, to reach out to others. That they see themselves as a life, they live their life on purpose. And that purpose is the calling of Jesus Christ. They say, pastor, I don't see small groups up in there at all. Well, in the timeline, your entry into a group in common typically should happen, you know, right about here in this area of the congregation. Although you could jump in here in the area of the crowd too and just kind of check it out. Maybe you're part of the crowd this morning. You're here on Rally Sunday. You think, I'll try one of those. I'll do that. And that would be great, because the movement from this community of having nothing down into an intimate, purposeful understanding that my identity as a Christian now is not relegated to being a church attender on Sunday morning. It is a real life change that makes me a minister. And how many know we're all ministers in Christ? Some of you do, some of you don't. It's true, you are. Maybe you're just learning that though. And you're just figuring out that that's really who you are in Christ. And it's my job, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and the rest of the staff, to teach you that. That's what the Bible says, that we are given, those that are gifted as pastors like myself and teachers, that my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's my job to lead you and to develop you so that you will move along this alignment into deeper and deeper and deeper until you get to the core. And the beauty about getting to the core is that you start to replicate the process. And now you start doing it too, bringing in the community to the crowd and so on. So small groups is a really big part of this. And I'm going to give you some reasons why now as we get into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to take just a few minutes to give you some theology that will help us work through this movement and this alignment, and to show you why being a part of the community or even the crowd, and at times even the congregation, leaves us on a bit precarious footing. And John chapter 6 is a powerful passage that explains this. Now I'll give you a little bit of background, then I'll read the scripture. In John chapter 6, it's a turning point in Jesus' early ministry, that crowds were coming to hear Jesus speak, but less to hear him speak and more to see him do stuff. They wanted to see the circus that followed Jesus around. Oh, where he's there, get this, people come back to life again. Oh, I want to see that. That beats, you know, Star Wars any day. Let's go see that. And when Jesus is around, people with leprosy get cleansed and people with blind eyes get opened. And even sometimes he makes you lunch. Awesome. You don't have to pay anything. We love this guy. Let's go see the circus. And that was kind of the mentality of what was going on for a lot of people. And that was happening in John chapter 6. Well, Jesus, not content with people being in the community of the crowd, wanted to press them deeper, to challenge their thinking, to move them down into some of the deeper inner circles so that they can actually understand who he was. And so in John 6, he starts teaching weird stuff, really weird stuff, like vampire stuff. Drink my blood, he says. I mean, this is some kind of weird sci-fi teaching. Eat my flesh. You think The Walking Dead is popular? Jesus started that? Not really, but he was saying those things. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And the people went, you're nuts. This is weird. We don't get this teaching. And if you read the chapter, you understand what he was talking about, obviously, was the spiritual understanding of who he was. And like manna came from heaven in the book of Exodus and nourished them day by day. That it was Jesus himself who you don't take a bite out of his arm or his flesh, but you ingest the presence of God and the understanding of him. And like the manna, it would fill us and nurture us every day. And like the blood would not be, we'd not be drunk or put on the doorpost even, but that by the washing of Jesus' blood, we could be forgiven from our sins and enter into a new covenant. And there was all this richness and depth that Jesus very well knew they wouldn't understand. And it caused a stir. And when it caused the stir, this crowd, this community that was following him, didn't get it. It went a little crazy. Scripture reads like this. From this time, after this teaching and all this argument that was going on in John 6, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Isn't there an interesting phrase there? Did you catch this? Many of his who? Of his disciples. People that had made a profession. I'm following him. But when he got to this place, they went, whoa, I don't think I want to follow him anymore. And it says they turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter, who gets a bad rap, but man, sometimes he nails it, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And Peter went, bam! And he just hit it right on the head. This is the little dialogue after this whole scene. Now, what's going on? And let me give you some principles about the community, the crowd, and even to a degree the congregation and the importance of small groups. Differentiate now. As we start, the difference between the first verse and many of his disciples no longer followed him, the community, the crowd, and even to maybe a degree the congregation, versus the 12, the small group. Okay? Let me give you some principles. Number one, small group love stays when the crowd goes away. That's just the way it worked. It worked then and it works now. 30 years of ministering here at the church, actually 31, there's been a lot of just transition in our church. A lot of people in and out. I don't know how many hundreds and maybe, you know, more than that in and out of our group. I sometimes tell people I've actually pastored probably about 5 different churches. So I don't move anywhere. The people just change. That's kind of nice for my own family stability. Sometimes pastors leave and find a new place. I just stay put and let them come and go. But a lot of those people, sadly, if they were to walk in the door, I'd kind of go, do I know you? I think I remember you. Because it was just kind of an in and out part of the crowd. Part of the crowd that was here and then no longer here. And I know there's reasons for no longer here. There's movement and I get job change and I get all. I'm not condemning that movement. I'm just saying that there's a difference between those that have been there and there are other people when they walk in the door, I get so excited and I throw my arms around them and I think, oh man, it's great to see you. Even though it's been 10 years, 15 years. Why? Because there was a smaller group relationship. There was an intimacy that was developed on a smaller scale. And you get this, don't you? You have acquaintances, and then you have your core. You have your own life community, and then you have your life core. And your life core, you never forget. Many of you have come from other churches. See, you know, John and Leslie, you guys have a life core in Vegas, don't you? We don't replace them. We don't try to. Because they spent years in another community before they moved, with people that dearly, dearly love them, and they love those people. I'm not jealous or envious of that. I'm so thankful for your Vegas family, and I'm thankful that you're here with us now and developing that core anew in Northern Cal. We all have those people. The crowd drifts off, and the crowd goes away. If you're just in the crowd here this morning, you might move away or have a job change or something will happen in your life. And it'll be sad if you think, well, I really don't miss many folks at Abundant Life because I really was not that connected. You get into a small group, that changes. And it's different. And you begin to bond like never before. The small group love stays when the crowd goes away. Number two, small group love is based on relationship, not on self-interests. Now, I say that based on John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, the very first three verses says, and the crowd came to Jesus because they wanted to see the miraculous signs he was doing. Self-interest or others' interest? Self-interest. I want to see the show. I want to see the circus. I want to see what he's going to do next. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And right about then, when the crowd gathered, and there was probably in the neighborhood of 10,000 people, it says there are 5,000 men multiplied by women and children who weren't counted, easily could double that, about 10,000 people. And that's the time when Jesus fed the 5,000 or the 10,000. They got a free lunch. Isn't it cool when you come see the circus and they give you lunch too? He did that. He multiplied. He did a great miracle. And then Jesus travels across the water, walking on water, by the way. And that really made a mess with their heads, although they didn't understand everything. And when they arrived on the other side of the lake, Jesus confronts them and says, why are you guys following me? Well, Rabbi, with some reason. And he says, you're not following me because you're interested in me. You're following me because I fed your bellies. That's what he says. I gave you food to eat. That's why you're following me. Well, we want to know. Lord, teach us. And so he teaches them, the work is to believe, John chapter 6. And he says, the work is not to do stuff, the work is to believe. And that starts to confuse them a bit. And they make this unbelievably crazy statement in my mind. Remember, he just fed the 5,000. They came as a group of 5,000 because of all the miracles he was doing. Follow? And then he walks on water. And here's what they say after he says, the work is to believe. They say, what miraculous sign will you show us to believe what you are saying? Does that make any sense? We're following you because of your miraculous signs. Here's the deal with the crowd. It's always about what have you done for me lately? It's always about what new thing you're going to do now. And people change churches a lot because, oh, well, there's something cool going on across town. There's something going on over there. Oh, I want to see that. I want to go there. And they never root. Well, when you never root, you never move on the alignment into the core because you're just always bouncing. Are there other great things going on? Sure. And it's okay to visit a conference or a special event or something, but you got to have a core. You got to have a rootedness. And Jesus knew that. Because when we don't have that, we're just serving our self-interests and pacifying it and rationalizing it and dressed in some kind of spiritual clothes. And it's not healthy. Self-interest will get us. It will kill us. Number three, small group love gives you opportunity to work out theological confusion. That's just a big statement that says when you're in a small group, you get to ask questions about stuff you don't get. And this week, maybe in your small groups, you're thinking, what was he talking about, that bullseye thing? I couldn't read the words, but I don't even know what he was talking about. Well, in your small group, you can ask those questions. In your small group, you can go deeper. Now, get this. The 12, I believe this, because they didn't really answer Jesus' question clearly at the end. But the 12, I believe, were just as confused by eat my flesh, drink my blood, as the community and crowd were. They didn't get it either. Remember, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And they're starting to learn and to grow. But the difference is that they stayed as the 12 in the small group long enough to go, hey, you know, Jesus, about that vampire zombie thing that you were teaching, can you explain that a little bit further? Can you explain eat my flesh, drink my blood a little bit more? Because we didn't quite get that, and it was a bit weird for us. We didn't understand. Can you help us? In a small group, you can begin to work through the theological confusion. Don't raise your hands because I don't want you to hurt my feelings. But how many of you walk away thinking sometimes, I don't think I understood what he said? Now, I try to make it as clear as possible, make it as easy as possible. But sometimes you leave and you go, I don't know. I didn't get it. That's why the core is important. That's why your small group is important. And what love does there is really, really vital. It gives you the opportunity to work through the theological confusion. And the disciples had that. They had it too. And remember, when Jesus finally ascended back up into heaven and he left, in the book of Acts it says there was only about a group of 120 that was left. From thousands to after 3 years of having God in flesh on the planet walking with them, only a group of 120 remained. But those 120, they got it. And they knew. And then everything exploded after that. So you got to work through stuff. And number four, small group love gives you the opportunity to develop deep friendships. There's just a difference between the friendships with the crowd and the friendships with your small group. You deepen, you develop. And I like Peter's words back in the scripture. Let me click back really quick. Look at what he says at the very bottom. He says, you have the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Back up. Lord, where shall we go? Peter's speaking for the group, and he can speak for the group because he knows what they're all thinking. And none of them argues. They're all, yeah, what he said. Get him, Peter. That's what we want. So we're a group. We stand or fail together. We go or leave together. We're not leaving. You chose us. You called us. You've invested in us. We're in. That depth of relationship. Now, of course, Jesus confronted them a verse later saying, yeah, I know you're really close and I know you really love each other, but even one of you is really messed up. He didn't name names at that point, but he knew who it was who would betray him. There was intimacy. There was closeness. There was a camaraderie. There was a depth of relationship that you just don't get everywhere. I wish I knew all of you as deeply as I desire to. It's just not possible. There isn't enough bandwidth in life to have a great relationship with my wife, a great relationship with my kids and my other extended family. And there's just not enough moments in the day. So we've got to get smaller. That's what these small groups do. And it thrills me to hear of your groups functioning so well and developed and just growing. And when I hear of you caring for each other and going and doing things to each other, and I see you post on social media, I see a group of you, and I get so excited. I'm not even a part of it. I don't feel left out, except when you cook really good food. Then I feel left out. I wish you would invite me. Invite me to those outings. It's awesome to watch the body of Christ work and develop. And you grow deeper and you get tighter. And there's a difference between community friends and core friends, right? Somebody said it this way, and it kind of makes sense, that core friends are the people you ask to drive you to the airport. That makes kind of sense. Those are the ones that you can rely on. Those are the ones that you call and say, I'm getting in at midnight. Can you come? And in their minds, they're going, are you nuts? Have you not heard of Uber? Goodness. But you understand, right? There are certain people you can just impose on. Certain people you know will be there. Certain people that will be by you when you're struggling. Certain people you'll tell stuff to. Certain people you'll loan to. There's just certain ones. And it's not exclusionary. It's just, this is life. So right now we're going to go to the tables. And on these tables, there are different names of groups. And I encourage you, because Jesus believed in small groups. He chose 12. This is not Abundant Life's idea. This is modeled after Jesus' idea. The crowd, or the community, the crowd, the congregation, and on down to the 12. And even for Jesus, down to 3, with Peter, James, and John. It's Jesus' way of aligning us on this journey to going from where we were to where he wants us to be. And when we plug into the smaller groups, it starts to happen as you spend time and build relationship. Some of the new groups that were mentioned right here in front of me is the Gospel Project and the new members class. If you want to press in further and be part of that server group, what do I call it? The contributor group, and want to become members and start to, because you're starting to feel like, yeah, I should contribute. This is my family. Membership class is good for you. Over here to my right, this front table here, are three new classes, or three new groups on Sunday Message to the Max, meaning that when I speak and you go, I didn't get it, those are groups that you can talk about what we talked about on Sunday. And starting after Missions Month, I'll be giving notes every Sunday for those groups to challenge you and to take you deeper and to think. So if you want to be in one of those groups to study the Bible, but mainly to take further what was talked about on Sunday, that's the groups for you. And then there's so many others. Bottom line is this. Small groups are Jesus' idea. Jesus was not content to leave the crowd alone and just allow them to blindly follow him. He purposely taught hard stuff to drive them into a deeper level, to drive them into smaller, to drive them into more intimate, to drive them into more mature. And so if Jesus did it, that's what we want to do. We love our congregation. But if this is all there is for you, I want to tell you there's more. There's richer, there's deeper, there's more growth. And that's what we want for you. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to dismiss for you to peruse the tables. As I pray, leaders of groups, if you would station yourselves by your table so people can ask you questions as they come. And let's enjoy the next 30 minutes, 40 minutes of being in his presence at the tables. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I give you praise, Lord, that you have laid out a model for us on how to journey from the community to the core. And I pray in Jesus' name that whatever has to change in people's lives, and schedules might have to change, or different priorities might have to change, that you would help us all to understand it is worth it. Because our number one thing, God, in this life is getting to know you and knowing your family, our family. So, Lord, guide us as we go now. Inspire us and encourage us to start a whole new chapter and to take another step closer to where you want us to be with you. I give you the praise in Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's go to the tables. Bless you as you do.